I want to talk about last night's match and what lies ahead for Toronto FC, but I just want to sort of expand on what Stephen was talking about. And I know we've talked about this as well, but and I refer to my little intro today to the TIFO that the Southside supporters had before the New York Red Bulls match about redemption 90 minutes at a time. You know, we talk about redemption here. It's beating Seattle, getting the MLS Cup. But, man, Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley, I think I just get the sense they're playing for so much more, John.
I think that's true. I mean, they've had a rough couple months, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the U.S. failure to qualify for the World Cup was, you know, it's a disgrace. I don't really know how else to put it. There's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't have qualified. You know, they certainly have the talent to get out of CONCACAF, and the fact that they, you know, tripped up at the final obstacle. You know, I don't know what to say. As I said, it's just a disgrace. So, and they've taken, you know, a pretty big beating from people like Lawless and you know, U.S. media critics. And, you know, I was there for the regular season finale in Atlanta where, you know, every touch that they took, they were getting booed. And then the game in New York where, you know, again, booed, and then there were the F-bomb chants and, you know, Jozy getting getting chirped about not being a real American because he's a Jehovah's Witness and he doesn't sort of sing the national anthem. Mm-hmm. So they've been through a lot. But I have to say, I mean, they've really kind of carried themselves with a great deal of grace and class through this entire thing. And, you know, maybe privately it's eaten them up, but publicly they put on a very brave face. And even yesterday, I mean, after the game, Altidore was kind of asked about it and said, you know, it's been a rough couple months for you. And he's just like, you know, don't feel sorry for me. I'm not some wounded animal here. It seems like everyone wants to portray him as some sort of, you know, helpless victim in this, but he's not sort of having any of it, at least publicly anyway. And he's just sort of downplaying and said, look, it is what it is. And, you know, what TFC is doing has nothing to do with the U.S. national team, and what the U.S. national team has nothing to do with TFC. So you have to sort of compliment the way that they've risen above it. I mean, I don't know that other athletes necessarily would have, but they've, as I said, they've handled themselves with a great deal of dignity and class during this entire thing.
So that's, so we have a moment last night, John, that, you know, in the mythology of this team, you know, some of that mythology is kind of bleak if you go back and think of some of the less great moments over 10 odd years, but that goal, you know, the kind of the construction of that goal, Altidore limping back onto the pitch to be there to score that goal, the significance of it. And I know this is the penultimate step, and the next one is the big one. Otherwise, the story is the same as last year. But that moment is, that's right up there in franchise history, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in, you know, a few years when Altidore retires that, you know, the Altidore chant replaces the Danny Dicchio chant. I mean, I think it's, mm-hmm. you know, this was an iconic moment, and not just for TFC, but I mean, I think for Major League Soccer as well. I mean, in my game report, I called it, you know, Major League Soccer finally has a Bobby Bond moment. And, you know, everyone understands that Bobby Bond, that was an iconic moment, that was in the Stanley Cup final and whatnot. But for a young league, and it is a young league, it's only been around 20 years, you know, iconic moments like this have been, you know, very few and far between. So, you know, the fact that Altidore was able to score, you know, such a memorable goal with the circumstances being what they were, I think it was a huge moment for the league, not just for TFC. And you know, I think you're quite right, Stephen. I think this is for a franchise who has had, you know, a checkered past and not too many sort of few good moments. This is one of them. And as I said, I think it's going to be right up there, you know, when the history comes down as written long term, this is going to be right up there with Danny Dicchio's goal. And, you know, if next Saturday, if they host the World Cup, the MLS Cup as well.
It's a lot prettier than the Dicchio goal, as I recall.
Oh, a lot prettier. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, good thing it happened, too, because if it hadn't, I think for a lot of people, John, the lingering image of that game would have been Zach Steffen diving to his right and stopping the penalty. by Victor Vasquez. But, you know, it was interesting. Really, that goal and that interchange between Vasquez and Altidore, that was really the only time in the match where the sort of the three best players for Toronto FC, their three top offensive players, I should say, all got a chance to touch the ball in an area where they could do something, and they came through with it. And they came through the occasion. I thought that tactically, I don't know if you could do anything better against this TFC team than what Columbus did tactically. I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah, I quite agree. I'm not sure what else they could have done. I thought, you know, they handled the occasion very well. And I mean, it was a pretty even first half where, you know, Altidore and Giovinco, they had a few touches on the ball, but nothing really meaningful. And, you know, they really cut off service to them. And, you know, but for that, you know, it was, they just did a really good job of shutting them down. So, you know, full credit to Columbus. I mean, they coming into BMO Field, where TFC had only lost once all season, you know, you thought, well, they're going to get steamrolled here. But, you know, I thought they gave as good as they got, and they gave Toronto FC a game of it. And really, you know, TFC had to earn this one. This was not some sort of, you know, easy win. They had to kind of go out and fully, you know, work for it, and they did. And, you know, to your point about the goal, too, I don't think Giovinco gets enough credit as well, because, you know, his hold-up play, just to hold it up and fend off the defenders and then back-heel it to Giovinco, and then that set them off on the give-and-go. I think that was a brilliant piece of work. I mean, great pass, perfectly weighted pass from Vasquez, and a sublime finish from Altidore. But Giovinco, for me, was really kind of started off just with his hold-up play, and that was a critical moment in the game.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, because after the game, when we were talking to Will Trapp, the Columbus captain, you know, amongst several things that had him shaking his head, and it was certainly not to take anything away from Sebastian Giovinco, but he said, how did the shortest guy in the pitch get that ball?
Yeah.
You know, really. And then that was, you know, just another example of how frustrating it was for Columbus. Anything Seattle, presuming Seattle gets in, which I think is a safe presumption, anything they'll take away from what Columbus was able to do to Toronto in that final, or because it's a one-off, because it's just one match, it's not two matches, does Seattle just kind of have to do what Seattle does and not necessarily pay attention to what worked for Columbus?
No, I think that's exactly it. It is a one-off, so I don't think they're going to follow any sort of, you know, blueprint from Columbus or New York in the previous round. I think, you know, Seattle is a very good team. They're going to do what they do and what they've gotten to this point. You know, I suspect that they're going to be pretty cautious like they were last year, and they won't open it up. But they're a dangerous team, especially on set pieces. I think Nicolas Ladero is one of the finest. The Uruguayan is one of the finest playmakers in Major League Soccer. And, of course, Stefan Fry, one of the best goalkeepers, as Altidore can attest. So, you know, this is going to be a hard one for TFC. This isn't an automatic out. You know, and I know that they have the memory of last year lingering, and they're out for revenge and redemption, but they have to stay focused, because Seattle is not going to roll over. This is a difficult matchup for Toronto, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, especially from a tactical perspective.
John, how is this Seattle side different from the one last year? Like, it's better, but how is it different?
Well, I don't know that it is radically different. I just think what I like about Seattle is they're just so well balanced, right? I mean, they have the core of the team that was there last year, but I like how they have depth in all areas. They're not sort of top heavy up top. They've got depth in defense. They just have strength all over the pitch. And I think, you know, with guys like Jordan Morris, the young American striker, I think he's, again, one of the bright young sort of players in American soccer, and someone who has proven to be a real handful in this league for opposing defenders to deal with. So, again, Toronto is going to have its work cut out against what I think is a very good Seattle side.
John, just to change subjects for a second, tomorrow we have the World Cup draw tomorrow. It's going to be on right around this time of day, I think, from Russia. Could you, the system has changed a little bit this time around, right? In terms of how FIFA rankings, and FIFA rankings are weird. I don't know how much people who are not soccer people understand this, but you would think they would be straightforward. They're not. But
FIFA's straightforward.
How is that going to change, you know, the configuration here, John, and especially kind of in the potential groups of death or group of death. There's probably usually only one.
Yeah, I think you're quite right. I think, you know, there's the potential that we could have, you know, two groups of death. It's weird in that, you know, however FIFA came up with this logic of changing the pots, but I think there's going to be more possibility for marquee matches in the first round with more sort of heavyweights potentially grouped together. And, you know, I think that's great, personally. I mean, I know, you know, everyone wants to see all the best teams advance to the knockout round and when the real sort of tournament, I guess, starts. But I quite like that there's meaningful games, that, you know, there's probably going to be more meaningful games in the group stage. I think it'll lead to more exciting soccer. There'll probably be less of those sort of blowout games or, you know, where teams go into the match or heavily favored and just blow out their opponent. So I think it'll just lead to a more, hopefully, knock on wood, a more competitive tournament next summer in Russia.
Well, because for, among other things, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have both Spain and England in the B pot. So
right.
Either one of those could be matched up against in the same group as a Germany or a Brazil.
You know, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Now you've got the Russians there as well as the host. They're not a strong side. You've got Poland in there as an A in the A pot, but yeah, you could potentially line up, you know, three really good sides when you look at some of the, you know, the kind of the sleepers in there, like Serbia, you know, mm-hmm. they're floating mm-hmm. around in there, or Senegal. You know, you could have England, Germany in the first round. You could have Brazil, Spain in the group stage. That's, you know, that's some, and, you know, the possibility at least that, you know, somebody awfully good is going to go home early.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think, you know, I think that's great, because I think for too often we kind of take, you know, the group stage for granted, that all the big guys are going to go through, and, you know, we all look forward to the knockout round, the round of 16, and that's when the tournament starts. But I think this forces, I mean, if there's going to be some of these, you know, really top heavy groups with, you know, a couple contenders in the same, you know, grouping, they got to hit the ground running. They can't sort of afford to have slow starts. Otherwise, you know, potentially they could, you know, bow out at the first stage. So, as I said, I think it'll lead to more competitive games and more competitive groupings right from the get-go.